thank you very much, Black Ears audience, for tuning in to another edition of the Black Ears interview series. Here with me today, this is John Wood speaking, by the way, of Black Ears Online. Here with us today is Talitha James of KidSave. Now, KidSave, I'll let Talitha explain it, but KidSave is an organization that deals with children who are in the foster care system. Is that correct?
Yes, John, thank you. It definitely is an organization that deals with foster youth, but more uniquely, we focus on older youth who otherwise would not have the opportunity to be adopted without the efforts that we do at KidSave.
So it focuses on kids who are sort of falling through the cracks in the traditional foster care system. Would that be fair to say?
Well, it focuses on older foster youth who, because of their age, do not find families because they are African American, sometimes because of, you know, they are living with their siblings in sibling sets, or because of just circumstances that are beyond the youth's control, they do not find families. So we help to connect the community members with foster youth through what we call hosting, which is an opportunity to spend time with a youth in our program so that you can become familiar with them and potentially adopt them, down the road.
Now, is this the Weekend Miracles part of the program?
Right. So that's our Weekend Miracles program. And basically, we ask families who are wanting to get involved to spend 2 days out of a month for at least 1 year. That's the minimum commitment that it takes to become a host.
Okay. Is this something that's available to anybody? What's the process of qualifying to be a host? What would you call it? You wouldn't call it a parent. Would you call it a mentor, or is there a word for it?
Yeah, all of our mentors are called hosts. We don't like to use the word mentors because the commitment level of what we ask from our families goes beyond just, you know, a mentor. So we call our host family super mentors. Basically, the requirement is such that the minimum age requirement is that you are 24 years of age, a U.S. Mm-hmm. citizen, and we welcome families, we welcome couples, we welcome families with their own biological children or families who have already adopted or fostered. We welcome pretty much any type of family to this program.
Okay, and the point is just that they get into a family atmosphere, the type of atmosphere that I guess many of these kids, especially as they've aged through the system, maybe are not accustomed to having on any sort of regular basis.
Exactly. We want to introduce the youth who are living in group homes and living in foster homes. We want to introduce them to the idea of family because that is what they don't have, you know, the experience in, is how do I belong to a family? So we want to introduce them to that concept, and we want to introduce them to healthy connections to people who care about them.
Absolutely, and I'm sure that we can all be very supportive of that. Speaking of experience, however, you yourself have an interesting experience. Now, you're a young lady, and you talked about how you have to be at least 24 years old to be a host in this program, but you're not much older than that yourself, and yet you have an experience that allows you to work with this program to give guidance to people. Explain to us just why it is you have such a connection to this cause.
Yes, well, yes, my age, I am, on paper, I'm 24 years old, but my maturity level is beyond that, and, I thank my God for that, because I've been able to go through my own experiences and learn from them as well as, make a positive change for myself. So I was actually in the foster care system. I entered care at the age of 2. And I left the system at the age of 18. So I had various placements that I experienced from the age of 2 to 18. And a lot of these youth have the same experience, and they unfortunately don't have someone who can be that permanent connection or that stability in their lives. But luckily for me, I had an aunt who took me in at the age of 14 and gave me the stability I needed so that I could be in a mindset to even want to go to school or make something of myself beyond just leaving the foster care system, because emancipation from the foster care system was my only dream. That's all I dreamed about. And it's sad that at that time, that was my future. But because she was in my life, she kind of erased that, and we, you know, we had a new plan of action, which was to go to college. And from there, you know, the world was my my stepping stone. So she definitely changed my life, and that's what we hope to do for a lot of these youth in our program, is to connect them with that person who's going to make that difference in their life.
So you were fortunate in that, in the course of going from, I guess, one foster care setting to another, you finally wound up with somebody. You said it was your aunt, who was able to give you a sense of direction. But for most people in the foster care system, I guess there's just a sense that there's no real stability for a lot of them. I mean, so explain to us, before you got to your aunt, just what was life like for you, you know, bouncing from one setting to the other? What were the foster parents like? Were they all well-meaning? Were some of them neglectful? I mean, what sort of environment did you find yourself in?
Well, looking back on my own experiences, I would have liked to thought that every house that I lived in, that the people who were my foster parents had good intentions, but unfortunately that was not the case. A lot of these families go into becoming a foster parent for income. A lot of families go into becoming a foster parent because they really want to make a difference. It was just that my experience, I would say 90% of my placements were negative experiences, and that is what ultimately caused me to have to move so many times, because it just wasn't, you know, the best family setting for me. So I would speak up for myself, and I would let my social worker know what was going on in the different homes. And, you know, my brother and I, we would move very often, because too often times families are not going into becoming foster parents for the right reason. So a lot of my placements, I had about 36 placements from the ages of 2 to 18. A lot of those placements, I don't know.
That's
it was just by
more than 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. I have so many middle school IDs, it's not even funny. Every other month I was changing middle schools or having to change schools, having to, you know, meet new people and make new friends. So I was always on the go. I always had a backpack. I never felt comfortable, or I never could feel comfortable in one home, because all I knew was, okay, well, in about 3 months, it'll be that time to move again. So you know, these youth don't have that opportunity to feel comfortable and to just feel like they belong, because they're always moving and having to change schools. So that was my experience. I was always on the go.
Right. Yeah, which is remarkable. I mean, I can see how you would have to, how it must help a lot to have lived in that circumstance when it comes to helping young people who are in similar issues. I mean, you didn't just survive the foster care system, you came out of it and thrived, because you finally found yourself in an atmosphere where you had the opportunity to grow and to progress and have a real sense of direction. So you've gone to college, you made something of yourself, and now you're giving back to the community, which I think we all absolutely admire. Do you have any idea how many kids and how many African American children are in the foster care system at any given time?
At any given time, I don't want to misquote and I don't want to misrepresent, but there are a lot of minorities in care that make up the foster care system.
Yeah,
and I would say over half.
I was going to say, we we make up one of the largest, if not the largest, percentage of children in the foster care system. If I'm
right, right.
If I'm not incorrect about that, how big a problem is this in our community? Period. And is it getting the amount of attention that it should be getting, or is this something that not is this a problem that many people are not really aware of in terms of just how significant it is, in your opinion?
I think people are aware of the fact that there are children who are growing up without mothers and fathers and families in general, but I don't think people understand the impact of not growing up in a family, what that can do to a child once they become adults. And so we don't see those effects until it's too late, until that youth is either pregnant or in jail or what have you. And then you sit down and you talk to that youth and you ask them, well, what happened? And then they explain to you that, well, I grew up in foster care, or I grew up in the probation system, or I grew up without a family. And we see that that is the issue that connects these youth to these statistics, is not having a family setting and not having that stability factor in their life. But in Los Angeles County, well, I would say California has the largest child welfare system. So we have over 3,500 youth in California who are foster youth, whether they be teenagers, babies, whatever. But of those, of that 35,000, we have 500 youth in LA County who are waiting to be adopted. That means that no family has stepped up to the plate. No one has said, I will adopt these children, but these children's rights or parents' rights have been terminated. So now the next plan of action is to find them an adoptive family. So we have 500 youth who are waiting to be adopted in LA County.
Mm-hmm. And KidSave sort of tries to step into the gap there as much as is possible.
Now, we do work with older youth, and that is, the population we serve, but we have so many babies that are waiting, at DCFS, Department of Children and Family Services, who also need homes. But, of course, KidSave's focus is older youth because those are the youth who don't have a voice and who aren't being recognized.
Right. Now, apart from what your organization is doing, and apart from obviously, I think the most important thing is that we in the community, and certainly as it applies to the African American community, that we step up to the plate and help to provide a family atmosphere for young people who frankly have not had that, and without that, don't really have any direction or guidance in life. Are there other reforms that can be made to the foster care system on the governmental program, on the governmental level, that we should be thinking about? Is there anything about the way foster care is traditionally administered that needs to be changed, do you believe?
There are many, many reforms, but as you know, there's so many things to do already. So, of course, I feel like this issue on foster care nationally takes a back seat. But the one thing that I feel like the government has stepped up to the plate in helping older youth transition is that in 2010, legislation was passed with extending foster care from the age of 18 to 21, and that is through the Fostering Connections Act. And so now youth have the opportunity to stay in care, receive supportive services, and receive money or rent if they are going to school or if they are working or if they are working on either of the two. So that did not exist before. So that is something I feel like will definitely help these youth. But now the issue is that these youth don't even know how to get into school. They don't know how to find a job. So how are they going to access that supportive services, and how are they going to access those funds if they don't have the necessary support or the necessary skills to be, at a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we need individuals to raise these children, raise these young adults so that they are able to become successful individuals, whatever their success may be defined as. But we need people to step up to the plate. and plant seeds and take the time to sit down and help a child fill out an application to go to college or help a child apply for a passport, help a child just do what everyday young adults do.
Right. Right. So at the end of the day, while there may be important things that we can do politically to try and reform these systems, at the end of the day, nothing is going to replace the central role that communities, families, and individuals need to play in providing a support structure for these young people. That's what I hear you saying.
Right. It takes one, individual to make an extraordinary difference in the life of these youth. It just takes one. You don't have to be the president. You don't have to be, have all this money. You just have to have a willingness to say, okay, I'm going to step up to the plate and make sure that this child matters.
Right, and you're an example of that, both as a person who's come through the system and survived and thrived with flying colors, and as a person who's giving back. So your story is extraordinary on both counts.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, before we go, just remind us again how we can the name of your organization and how it is that we can get involved if we want to play a constructive role in the lives of these kids coming out of the foster care system.
Absolutely. So a lot of people ask, well, how can I get involved? KidSave has a Weekend Miracles program where you can get involved as a host. There is an application process, but the first thing you will want to do is get in contact with KidSave, and you can access the website at kidsave.org. And the first thing you want to do is attend an information meeting where you can learn all about the Weekend Miracles program. And then second, if you are a person who is considering adopting through the foster care system, I would definitely encourage you to contact Department of Children and Family Services in your area so that you can start your process to becoming a foster and adoptive parent. And then thirdly, if you just know of someone in your church or, a young adult in your church who's in the system, reach out to them. Ask them, do they need anything? You might find that someone within your own network is in need of, of help, and you may not even know it because a lot of times these youth fly under the radar, and they don't want to be seen. So I would encourage all of the people who are out there wondering, well, how can I help? Those would be my recommendation.
All right, Black is Family. I hope that you're paying attention to that, because you might be a person who can really make a serious difference in the life of a young person who has not had a family atmosphere. Who needs that? To go out and to make our community better. So that website is www.kidsave.org.
Okay, and that's the Weekend Miracles Program.
That's right, the Weekend Miracles Program. Ms. James, God bless you. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and you just
Amen.
Keep on doing what you're doing, because we support you wholeheartedly. We need more sisters like you, and it's a blessing to be able to speak to you and have your story. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
And thank you, folks, for listening.